and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the Foreigners Journals podcast. My name is Caroline. Today is the 17th of September 2021. And here in Germany, there are excitements about the upcoming elections. They're supposed to take place on the 26th of September 2021. The situation in Germany is currently concerning Corona, is currently relaxed, but almost 63% of the population is inoculated, which means that the shops are open and fitness studios are open. And the struggle now for the government and is just to how to get as many people as possible to get their vaccine, and that is proving to be very, very difficult. So yeah, so that's the current challenge with Corona. I think there are discussions about whether to have 2G rules. 2G rules is 2G or 3G rules. 3G rules are basically genesen, like someone who's been infected before and now is healed, and geimpft is someone who's been vaccinated, and then getestet is someone who's been tested. You know, to only kind of strictly follow these rules when going to the restaurant or going to any place where you get to meet other people, you know. So that is the whole discussion. And in Germany, the discussion is whether this is most places, also my state, they are all trying to figure out how to provide a legal mandate for something like that, because that is just not there. There's no legal basis for demanding all this from people. So so the whole Corona situation is still just, yeah, it's as much drama as possible. But the purpose of this podcast episode is actually to talk about the upcoming German elections. As I've said before, I was born and brought up in Kenya. So even though I can now vote in Germany, my home country, I was born in Kenya. So I do follow political discussions in both countries. I think that happens a lot if you live in a different country and have roots in a different country, then it's kind of logical that you try to follow everything. So I thought to explain a bit about the differences in the elections, the different ways that elections in Germany and Kenya differ, because I think they differ a lot. They differ. I don't know. I mean, there are, of course, some similarities, but I think I just want to explain a bit some things that I think are very, very different in Germany. And one of the first things that is very, very different is that Germany is a system that the head of government in Germany is the chancellor. Currently, the chancellor is Angela Merkel, and she's been the chancellor for the past 16 years, you know, so this is her 16th year. And in Kenya, normally there's a limit to how long you can be to be head of government. So Kenya has a constitution where you can only be the president for two terms. So you can only be the president for 8 years, you know. So Kenya does not have a chancellor. Kenya has president who is relatively powerful, who is actually really, really powerful, you know. So that's another difference. And the other difference is that Germany has the federal states. So for example, I live in the federal state of Baden-Württemberg, and we have a green prime minister, and we basically have our own government, you know. And these are not just like pseudo governments, you know, they are really well functioning governments that make decisions for their federal states, you know. And there's, for example, Bavaria, and they also have their own prime minister who also basically runs their own mini government. And then there's Rhineland-Pfalz, and then so there are 16 different federal states, you know, and these are all very, very powerful units with their own prime ministers, you know. So Angela Merkel, even though Angela Merkel is the head of the German government, there are still all these powerful, very, very powerful prime ministers for the different federal states, you know. Kenya has county governors. There are also governors in Kenya, which are kind of regional governments. And this is a relatively new thing in Kenya. So yeah, they're also supposed to have their own parliaments, and it's just not yet well established, you know. So power in Kenya tends to be at the top, you know. The presidency in Kenya has a lot of powers, you know, and they basically can do whatever they want, which they most of the time do anyway. Yeah. Regarding elections, I want to talk about the cost of elections. Elections in Kenya are a very, very, very expensive affair, you know. So if you look at the figures that the Electoral Commission in Kenya talks about, it's just incredible, you know. In Germany, people I know, I know people who kind of are just volunteers for elections, you know, like when the elections are done, they volunteer to go and count, you know, to just do clerical work for during elections, you know. This could be teachers, it could be students, but this is somehow the motivation is not monetary, you know. It's nothing to do with trying to get money or to be famous and stuff. And so I don't even know who the equivalent of the Electoral Commission in Germany would be. You know, it's just not. It's just there's so much integrity in the electoral process that no one thinks to like the kind of drama that you have, like compared to Kenya, where you have this Electoral Commission, who are basically their own small gods who can basically, decide to announce whatever they want to announce. They can decide to announce whatever winner that has happened in the past, where they basically are held at gunpoint and they are made to announce the results or to declare someone a winner, even though it's not yet clear, you know, what exactly is going on. So there's nothing like that in Germany, and for that, I really think that Germans should count themselves lucky that the elections are not mired in so much drama. The other thing that I want to talk about is violence. Kenyan elections, because the presidency has so much powers, usually also means that it's fought to the nail. You know, people like try to do everything to get political power, because if you don't have political power, then it often means that you are really massively disadvantaged. You know, so the president and his people, they kind of have access to state resources, and they can basically just distribute it to their friends and their tribesmen and the people they know, you know. So the result of this is that the fight for the elections is so intense, it's mad, it's so much violence, you know. It's really every year in Kenya, there's so many people are killed, you know, because of that, during elections, you know, because it's this do or die mentality, you know. So far in Germany, I don't know, I've not seen that kind of violence, and I just, yeah, in that sense, that is also something that Germans should count themselves lucky to escape, because it's really, really bad to make elections into a do or die thing. Yeah. The other thing that I want to talk about is the tribe that I think is very different in Germany and Kenya is the tribe. So Kenya has 42 over 40 different tribes, you know, and these are tribes that speak different languages, often with very different cultures and very different traditions, and basically they are in this one country, which is kind of an artificial construct of a country called Kenya. There is very intense rivalry amongst the tribes, and what happens is that during elections, the tribes kind of band together, you know. Political parties in Kenya are less to do with ideologies of what someone believes or fights for, and more to do with the tribe, you know. So people kind of elect specific people because they belong to their tribes. So, for example, in Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, the kind of president, is a Kikuyu, and he's then elected by his fellow Kikuyus, and they gang up, of course, with other tribes. Like, for example, the current vice president is called William Ruto, and he is Kalenjin, you know. And so they banded together and kind of to win the presidency and basically rule the rest of the tribes. And the opposition leader was the opponent of Uhuru Kenyatta was Raila Odinga, and he's a Luo. So he is also supported by his own like the lower tribe, and then all the others who kind of are against or have been excluded from the other coalition, you know. But the primary the factor that keeps them together, the different people together, or make people vote for specific parties, is often less to do with ideologies or beliefs, and more to do with the tribe, you know. So a tribe is a very, very important thing in Kenyan politics, you know, or Kenyan elections. In contrast, I think in Germany, it's less of that. I think in Germany, there's really quite a focus on the issues, you know. The Green Party in Germany is very strong, or the Social Democrats, or Angela Merkel's Conservative Party, the Christian Democrats, you know. And they tend to have like ideologies, like well articulated ideologies, and people who elect them are kind of believe in their ideologies. But I still think that there's a tribe factor, because I think, like, for example, in Germany there's a party called the CSU. CSU is a sister party of the Christian Democrats, and this party is only in Bavaria, and they basically, it's the governing party in Bavaria, and I think like their current prime minister Söder wanted to become the candidate for the whole of Germany, you know, like to be put as a candidate for the conservatives, this Angela Merkel's party, you know, and I read articles about how this opposition to people from Bayern, you know, like people from Bavaria, people say, like, these articles about, yeah, but we can't let a Bavarian, we can't have a Bavarian candidate, you know. So there's a bit of tribalism, I think, in that sense. But I think that it's largely, elections in Germany are largely driven by, like, issues, you know, like people are fighting for, the Greens are fighting for climate issues. The Social Democrats try to fight for socially more inclusive societies. The conservatives try to follow conservative agenda, you know. So what also this means is that, this brings me to the next point. The political parties in Germany that participate in elections, there are lots of parties, but there are parties that are pretty well established, you know. So no one's going to just come up with a new party like, okay, now we have I'm just going to register a new party, you know. In Kenya, it happens quite often that every election you have a whole set of new parties, you know, which is kind of hilarious, but it shows just how it's completely different mentality, you know, like people just, a party is not something, it's more a vehicle to bring you to the destination more than anything. It's not that you believe in whatever it is, you know. There's so many briefcase parties in Kenya, and it's really, they're basically used as vehicles to bring you political power and not much else. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is intimidation and use of state resources in elections. So currently in Germany, there's a scandal about the conservatives sending law enforcement officers to investigate the Ministry of Finance that's headed by Olaf Scholz, who is the Social Democrat candidate who's currently leading, you know. And there's an uproar because people feel like it's using the state to intimidate, you know, like to intimidate a potential laws to an opponent, and kind of stop a potential loss of power by the conservatives, you know. Now, I think that in Kenya, this is really, really pretty normal. If you look like you are going if you challenge the status quo and look like you might have a chance to win against the incumbent, then most of the time you experience a lot of violence, you know. And this you could see in, for example, the previous years when you had Raila Odinga, the opposition party, that the intimidation and just the harassment of the of him and his people were always like, yeah, part of that is just normal campaign business in Kenya, you know. And I don't know, I think in this case, in Germany, I think the difference is that there's quite an uproar. People are really disappointed about this act by the conservatives. And in Kenya, it's kind of just accepted that it's just part of normal day-to-day political business. So, yeah, so that's the other thing. Bribery is a huge, huge thing in Kenya. If you are vying for office, yesterday a friend of mine sent me some text that was really hilarious, you know, and it was basically, it basically showed how the general public, like the ordinary people, react in Kenya if you are a candidate and if you're not willing if you're not willing to bribe. And one of the things that I was really amused about, but also thought was tragic, was so this is in Swahili. So the statement was "Huyu atanguka subuhi," like, and the translation, the rough translation, is something like, "This one will lose by morning," you know, like you have no chance, you know. And basically, it means that you're not willing to bribe the voters, and you basically have no chance, you know. And I think that this is a very, very big part of elections in Kenya. You know, people often, the general public don't see the politicians until when there are elections. And when the elections, they come and try to bribe, you know, and they try to do all kinds of things to make sure that they stay on in power, you know. So I think for most people, there's a bit of cynicism that has crept in, and people just think, okay, if you're not going to see them the whole time, then we could just as well just take the money and just move on, you know. And that happens a lot in Kenya. So bribery is a big thing in Kenyan politics. I think in German elections, I think it's not so rampant. Yeah. The other thing that the other difference is that about elections in Germany and Kenya is that elections in Germany are always held on a Sunday. You know, so they never hold elections just on some random days. You know, and in Kenya, the constitution, it's also it's stipulated in the constitution that a general election is held on the second Tuesday in August in every fifth year, you know. So so it means, for example, that the next general election for Kenya is scheduled for 9th August 2022, you know. So on a Tuesday, you know. So so unlike in Germany, where elections are always on a Sunday, they have elections like every second Tuesday in August, every fifth year, you know. Yeah. So it's difficult to compare elections in Kenya and Germany. And in Kenya, rigging is really, election rigging is really a sport that is something that is really, really rampant. And people, it's just, I think in a way it's understandable. I think it's also a bit because of the structure of government. If you have a structure of government in which the presidency has so much powers and all the resources are at the top and they have power to decide how the resources are used, then I think it's understandable that that it becomes a do or die thing, you know. This is just not the case in Germany. So, and I think that helps that lessens the pressure of people feeling like they have to win the elections, you know. So I think that is probably the biggest difference. But election rigging is really, really kind of, it's more the rule than the exception, you know. I think in Germany, apart from the complete right-wing parties who are already claiming that elections will be rigged and that when people send in like I said, it's difficult. I think the German elections, there's a lot of integrity in the elections, and people just don't try to. So what did I want to say? So election rigging in Kenya is kind of a sport, you know, and in Germany, I think I would say that it happens less. There's a general belief and trust in the election process. And people who that right wingers, who kind of Trumpists, try to talk about election rigging and stuff, but no one takes it seriously. So that is that one just does not work, you know. So election rigging is really not a thing in Germany. It's very, very, it's just not as rampant, you know, and it's just people trust the election. And I think that when it comes to elections, it's also about how people feel about the elections, election process. And majority of Germans, I think, trust the election process, electoral process, and they usually then there are not so many people fighting to or claiming that elections were rigged. You know, that is just that just doesn't happen much, you know. When I compare German elections in general, when I compare German elections and Kenyan elections, I feel like there are lots of things that the Kenyan that we Kenyans can learn from the German elections in the way that they are the way they manage to remove emotions to a large extent from elections, and the way lots of people, majority of people, just kind of try to look at the issues and try to look at what really works for them, you know. So, yeah. So that is a good thing. And talking about the upcoming elections, they've been the votes. You can now vote. Basically, you can vote per mail. You know, I already did that. You know, and my personal hope is that that there's a more progressive government that is going to come. I think Angela Merkel did a good job for the time that she's been the chancellor. I mean, even though she's a conservative, I think many Germans were very, very were very satisfied with the work that she did. She, as a person, I think lots of people were appreciative of her level of integrity. You know, she was someone who lots of people, even when they didn't agree with her politically, and I think as someone who is not necessarily conservative in the traditional sense, I can also say that I really liked her, you know. I think, and I have a lot of respect for her, and I just hope that Germany now, I think, just also when you look at the climate change and all the issues that are the challenging issues that are all coming along, I just hope that that people elect a government that is progressive and that's willing to maybe make some bolder decisions and maybe just move, continue moving the country forward, you know. So thank you very much for listening. I mean, like I said, there are three currently there are three candidates. Like Olaf Scholz from the Social Democrats is leading the polls, and there's Armin Laschet from Angela Merkel's Conservatives, and then there are the Greens party candidate, you know. Annalena Baerbock, you know, and but all three candidates have their own strengths and maybe weaknesses. I read in the New York Times, they explained, there's an article about Olaf Scholz being so boring that it's much more interesting. It would be much more interesting to watch water boiling than to listen to Olaf Scholz, you know. And this is really interesting because this seems to be his strength at the moment, you know. And then I just whatever happens, I just hope that there's a more progressive government that's going to come into place. Yeah, thank you very much for listening. I will maybe record again about the goings on in Germany later. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, please send an email at podcast@theforeignersjournal.com. And otherwise, give this podcast a 5-star rating so many people can find it. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.